Football Friday with Doug and Wolf. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Five star games.
The NFL's best games with Doug and Wolf.
Brought to you by Fry's. Fresh for everyone. Shop now at friesfood.com.
All right, everyone, gather on the transistor and press the air right now. There are four, count them, four five-star games.
Number one.
Number one in what could be the most physical game you're ever going to see, ladies and gentlemen. The Tennessee Titans travel to the Baltimore Ravens, 6-3 on 6-3. Bust each other's face. This is going to be physical. That's number one.
Number two.
Oh, my goodness. Here it is. The legendary Kansas City Chiefs, Oakland Raiders. Oh, not Oakland Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders. The Chiefs Raiders. Number three. It's the NFC West, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. The Los Angeles Rams traveling to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. The Rams sitting there at 6-3. The Bucs at 7-3. This is going to be a five-star game.
That's huge right there.
Number four.
I had to go with it only because I love the Packers and the Colts. I love the Packers and the Colts. I want to see the Colts. And whether or not the Colts are going to become that physical team that I think they're capable of becoming. So it's kind of a Wu-Fang Clan five-star game. Packers at Colts.
Five-star game with Doug and Wolf.
No way.
Class of two right now, right in Paul Calvisi's face, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Where is the coffee? Somebody bring the coffee and flash the two right now with your Jordache jeans on and your neon comb.
Is there any consideration for the fact I got an hour of sleep in that audio booth back there, and now you're giving me lover boy? I mean, can I get a little consideration?
Paul, did you really curl up in the fetal? Did you do that? Did you curl up in the fetal back in the voice booth?
I leaned back the desk chair, threw my feet up on the counter, and boom!
Did you sleep on the plane, Paulie? Did you get any sleep at all?
About an hour or so.
Okay, about an hour. Punch it. Everybody's working for the weekend. Paul, we respect you. Suck it up.
Any burst of energy you hear is completely concocted, fake. It's faux energy, but here we are, and we'll try and act like the best of them around here. Except when you guys are playing Loverboy, there's no excuse for this whatsoever. I mean, no wonder the show isn't off to a fast start either.
Party time, ladies and gentlemen. You made it till Friday. Feels good, does it not? Got that weekend ahead of you.
Every day before or every day after a Cardinals game at 7:15, we have the listeners-only meeting. Unless Doug screws up. Then the listeners-only meeting is at 7:30.
I see.
So I just want to let you know, listeners-only meeting coming up at 7:30. I wanted to have James Betcher on today, so I texted him and said, hey, everything's open. What do you want? He said, I'll take 7:15. I said, great. And I scheduled it for 7:15 and then got in, and Maloney says, you know, the listeners-only meeting will be at 7:30. And I go, oh, no. Oops. So Betch is coming up next, and then you getting ready to rip somebody, explain your frustrations, go wherever. We'll narrow it down when we get to 7:30. But that's coming up. I have a big question here, and you are doing the color, Wolf. You are actually watching the game, Paul, in a better vantage point than us. Who stopped Kyler Murray running the football? Seattle or Cliff Kingsbury?
Seattle.
And I'm not...
Oh, sorry. Were you asking, Paul?
No, I'm asking you, both of you. It's all right. Because... I thought Cliff and Kyler were both terrible last night. And when your two most important people on our offense are terrible, you're not going to win very many games. But I wondered, with the injury, even though they're saying everything's okay, clearly you don't get a heating pad after every single series if everything's okay. Then I'm wondering, did Cliff get a little skittish after Kyler was hurt and say, let's not get you as exposed and run you as often?
Yeah, there definitely weren't as many RPOs, but was that a byproduct of the shoulder of Kyler? Was it because of what they were seeing, some of the looks in the fronts? And Pete Carroll said it, they were going to get more aggressive. Ken Norton Jr. did. In fact, I think the answer to your question really is the Chase Edmonds touchdown. The answer is it was Seattle that dictated the Cardinals' play calling in terms of Kyler and whether to run it or not because of all the attention, especially off the edges, they were giving Kyler Murray. And finally, they used it to their advantage, and they exploited that fact. And there was Chase Edmonds wide open. Man, how great it would have been if you would have been able to use that as a liability against Seattle's defense earlier in the game for more chunk plays.
And think of how many times you saw Kyler Murray on a zone read keep it, and he shouldn't have kept it. How many times did you see that? When you hear Kyler Murray saying, yeah, they definitely played for me, what he's talking about is on those edges, to your point, Paulie, on the edges, they weren't biting. They were not going to do that. That's how they changed. That's the approach that you're going to start seeing defensive coordinators make. They're going to say, hey, I'm just telling you right now, we're not letting that kid beat us. We're not letting Kyler Murray beat us. Don't go for the fake. Do not do it. Just hold your ground right there and stand there and force him to hand the ball off. And you know what? Honestly, right now, we should have done it.
The question now is it the game plan that keeps on giving? Because Kenyon Drake mentioned how Detroit used a lot of the elements of what Seattle implemented, and he flat out said, we're going to have to be ready to see it again. So what the Cardinals did on Sunday Night Football in the second half in overtime against Russell Wilson, a lot of other teams replicated. A lot of coaches were telling me, look, other teams took our game plan, and there's a reason why Seattle lost 3 out of 4, because other teams were using our game plan and forcing Russell Wilson's hand. Obviously, he dealt with it a lot better last night, but now I wonder if turnabout is fair play and if the Cardinals' offense is going to see what Seattle and I guess Detroit did earlier going forward.
I am deeply concerned about the lack of running game, whether it's Kyler or, as you kind of said, Wolf, of just making the decision to give that. And I Cliff is never going to answer this, but I would like to know how many of the, was an actual RPO and how many was a play fake. When was it, I'm reading this and I could just give it to Drake, take my 4 yards and be happy with 2nd and 6, and how much of it was, I see something, I want to throw it, and then it's not there, or I really want to get the ball to D-Hop, I pull it, I stare down D-Hop, now I've got a scramble, and the play breaks down.
You know, the other thing is that when the Cardinals have rushed for 200-plus yards, like they did last week in their last game against the Bills, and they've done 5 times under Cliff Kingsbury, it's usually been that three-headed rushing attack. It's been Kyler, Kenyon Drake, and Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds did not have very many touches, if any, in the first half, and he just didn't really get incorporated into the game plan and into the backfield until late in the game. And you know what? For a team that was lacking energy at times, he is instant energy. You know in basketball the term that the ball finds energy? Man, with Chase Edmonds, when he gets his hands on that ball, it just not only is he making guys miss and breaking tackles, but it seems to fire up the offense. And so, to me, if you really want to get the run game in gear, it's a three-headed attack between those three guys.
You know, if I'm not mistaken as well, going back and looking at the tape, I have not looked at it yet, but I will tell you that it felt like on the edge, they were almost baiting Kyler Murray, faking him. Now, listen, think about it. If you're running that zone read, Kyler Murray is looking at the end man on the line of scrimmage. He's looking at his body and his language. Where's he going? Oh, you know what? He's coming down. Okay, I'm going to keep it and run around him. Oh, he's holding right where he is. I'm going to go ahead and hand it off. It almost looked like to me that a couple of times guys jabbed inside like they were going to go with a running back and then stopped and caught Kyler Murray. This could be a tactic that you're going to see a lot of people use and employ against the Cardinals, if I'm right on that.
Coming up next from the Octon Community Studios, what did James Betcher see? He's a former defensive coordinator of both the Cardinals and the New York Giants. What did he think Seattle did to slow down the Cardinals' offense? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals a loser last night, 28-21. Sounds like just a normal score, doesn't it? 28-21, and yet it's a safety and a missed extra point to make up for the missed extra point for Seattle. James Betcher joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. former defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, former defensive coordinator of the New York Giants. Betch, good morning. We're hurting this morning. Tell us something positive that you saw from the Cardinals defense to make us feel better.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hey, listen, you have to still be positive. If you thought coming out of everyone wanted to win both of these last two games. If you thought coming out of the Buffalo, Seattle, that you could find a way to be 1-1 coming out of it and be 6-4 and be in a position where you have four opponents left on your schedule that have a combined record of 14-24, you'd feel like you have a chance to be in pretty good shape towards the end of the season. Then you obviously got to play your other division rival, mm-hmm. Rams. So, you know, the dark side would, you could be 5-5, but you're 6-4. So let's go.
You know, for me, Betch.
James Betcher with the light today.
Yeah, how about that? No, for me, Betch, no, honestly, I look at it right now. The Arizona Cardinals defense gave up 26 points. 26 points to the Seattle. If you would have told me they were going to give up 26 points to the Seahawks, I would have taken that and run like a banshee out of that stadium.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the game, you know, the Seahawks defense played, you know, for them, they played lights out last night. They really did. And they played the Cardinals very differently than they did in the first meeting.
How so?
There was more man-to-man. There was more pressure than in the first game. I think they just felt like they had to try to force the issue a little bit and try to be on the guys. And you know, that I thought they had some pretty good schemed up five-man pressures where you even saw it with Jamal Adams a couple times. He's blitzing inside. Then Kyler tries to escape the pocket. Then it's a scheme where he's blitzing inside. The defensive lineman would loop inside, and Jamal Adams would loop outside, and to give a faster guy a chance to try to contain the quarterback. You know, there was some pretty good for how they played defensively to come out and play that way last night. You know, you have to give hats off to Seattle in regards to that. Then they mixed in some soft zones, and whenever they were in those soft zones, you felt like the Cardinals were making them pay and hitting some guys and guys who were kind of chunking them a little bit.
What about the edge, Betch? When you watch the Arizona Cardinals run a lot of the zone read in which they do, I thought Seattle's edge said, you know what, Kyler, you're not running the ball. Did you get that same feeling?
I did. You know, they just were much more prepared for him either tucking the ball and scrambling and trying to minimize those gains, or the design runs where, to your point, Wolf, where it's a read option play where the quarterback could or could not carry the ball. Mm-hmm. They were just in better position on those in this game than the last game. And some of it was just, you know, they did a little bit better job with the matchups of who's going to be the quarterback player. You know, you saw Jamal Adams come down. You saw the DBs come down and be the edge of the defense at times to try to slow him down a little bit. Then when it was a linebacker, we saw those linebackers trying to play square and just be in front of the quarterback until his teammates showed up. They just played that a little bit better.
Talking to James Betcher, former defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Giants, just talking ball. One of the things that's really been an issue this year for the Cardinals is allowing points inside the two-minute warning. And we talked to you once about this, but it was really hurting last night because DK Metcalf took one off the face, and it should have been a touchdown, and it ends up being a field goal. But that field goal was the 36th. First half point after the two-minute warning. So almost every game this year, the other team is going into the locker room with a little bit of momentum. Are you seeing anything that can be cleaned up as the first half comes to an end for the Cardinals defense?
Well, you know, I mean, there was an unfortunate penalty there that put them in that spot. You know, and hey, I hate to say it. That's I mean, all of us would probably say I'm a defensive guy, so I cringed at that penalty from the standpoint. It's like, really? You're going to call that?
Oh, are you talking about the Pat P defensive interference?
Yeah, the PI penalty there. Now, there was a defensive holding on the other side.
Yep.
That was a penalty. Now, that's only a 5-yarder and a first down. The other one, I didn't see it, but hey, I get to say that now. I can't say that if I'm really coaching.
You are a defensive coordinator, though.
Hey, Wolf, I was yelling at the TV, and then, what are you calling that? How could you call that?
I did the exact same thing, Betch, in the game live on air. I said, that is one of the worst calls. And then I saw
the replay
of Pat P actually grabbing the jersey and pulling it. Then I said, you know what?
That was right when Betch turned his head. Yes. He's like, no.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, come on. No, but I think end of half, it is so critical, to your point, Doug, that you've got to find a way to get off the field. And sometimes it's minimizing penalties. It could be minimizing mistakes. You have to go back and look at why it's happening, not just that it happened. Mm-hmm. Hey, sometimes, you know, I've been there where sometimes it's like, you know, they get the ball in scoring range. Of all those points you're talking about, maybe half the points they've gotten the ball in scoring range. So maybe it's not even on the defense. Maybe it's just a collective team thing where mm-hmm. it's team football, field position, special teams, offense. You know, that could be both ways. So without looking at the big picture, that it's hard just to say it's this. So it's generally it's a little bit of everything. I think it's just playing cleaner football. If you probably go back, there's some breakdowns. There's maybe a communication, maybe a leverage a defender needs to play better, or the help that he's supposed to have he doesn't get. Then last night we saw that the thing was just, you know, just a penalty.
You know, it's so amazing, Betch. In the first game, I thought the quarterback that played the best was going to win the game. I thought that was going to be the situation. This game last night, I thought the defense that actually played the best was going to win the game. Yeah. And I think that happened. Yeah. I think the Seattle Seahawks, I think their defense shocked and surprised everybody. I think it's the best game they've played all year.
100%. And I was texting a friend of mine last night during the game, and I said, is it me or is it you? Or is it me, or do I feel like they almost took the ball out of Russell Wilson's hand a little bit last night, you know? So balanced. That's the most balanced they've been all season. You know, the guy only throws it 25-ish times in the game, and they just try to run it and balance it and hold the ball. I mean,
that's a good point, Betch.
There's a formula, right? Don't let Kyler Murray have the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him have the ball in
right.
his hands. That's how you can minimize some of those explosive plays that he has, right?
That's what
Seattle tried to do, and then it ended up being, to your point right there, is what defense was going to play a little bit better, and you know, that's kind of how the game shook down.
We're talking to James Betch, your former defensive coordinator to the Cardinals and the Giants. I realize how painful it is to get any coach on the planet in a radio interview to talk negatively about another coach. But I'm wondering, if you're a defensive coordinator and your D-line is in shambles, you've lost Jordan Phillips, you've lost Chandler Jones, you know you're weak up front, would you like to see your offensive coordinator call some run plays? Would you like to see him eat a little bit of clock so you don't have your defense out there? And you know the phrase that Wolf loves so much, complimentary football.
No.
Would you like to see some play calls in order to kind of alleviate a little bit of the pressure off of that D-line?
Well, I mean, as a defensive coach, I love all offensive guys that love to run the ball. and defensive players love it. They love it because it's and here's the thing, it's because of the mindset that it takes, you know. And I think the Cardinals have proven over time that Cliff's proven he loves to run the ball, and they find really creative ways to run the ball. They have an outstanding offensive line coach in Sean Coogler. I mean, I'm just telling you guys, he's one of the best in the National Football League, highly underrated. They find these creative ways, you know, and him and Steve Heiden do a great job of trying to find ways to run the football with Cliff. And, hey, you know, everyone's always going to, after the fact, and I'm not saying you guys are doing it, but this is how it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's always, if you don't win, you're going to find something that you got to look at and analyze. And I'll just point out, I think the Cardinals are lucky they have a head coach who is a good play caller. He really is a good play caller. I'm going to just rewind to a week ago in the very last two plays of the game, the Hail Mary that, mm-hmm. that they hit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to point at the play right before that and talk about that. I know you asked me about run plays, but yep. I'm going to tell you about a play design that right before that play, if you go back and look at the second to last play of the game, the Cardinals have an awesome call. Like, it was a extremely well-designed play. Andy Isabella, or it's either Andy Isabella or Christian Kirk, runs through the middle of the field wide open. Buffalo cuts him loose. They run three guys to the sideline and one guy back to the middle of the field. He's wide open play design. So they had a chance to win the game on that play. The very next play, the Hail Mary, it's a design play where Kyler's to scramble to his left. And you know that because the left guard, I think it's J.R. Sweezy, punches down and spins out to that side to try to seal the offensive left edge. Mm. The left tackle, Humphreys, lets the defender come underneath him or bull rushing so he can get to that side. Larry Fitzgerald's running all the way across the field. So they have this option where they can throw it short to Larry or go deep like they did. And it's just like those little things that when you go back and like rewind and, you know, look at it from a coach's perspective, two greatly designed plays. Now, players execute, and that's how you win games. There's no doubt about that. And that was a great, great play by two players and really the other guys on the field too, but two players for the Cardinals, but great design plays. So when you go back and ask me about do they need to run the ball or should they run the ball differently, I think they have great run schemes. I think the game really came down to some penalties. That's really what the game came down to. There was penalties and key moments on both sides of the ball, and those are the great thing about them. They're things that are that you can really clean up.
Thanks, Betch.
Love you, Betch, man. Thank you, brother.
See you, James.
Yep, see you. Thank you.
There's JB, James Betcher, former defensive coordinator of the Cardinals, of the Giants, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can get your next new or pre-owned Nissan at Coulter Nissan. Go to coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. Now it's your turn. What was the biggest mistake you saw last night?
602-260-9870.
Listeners only meeting. Fix the Cardinals. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Doug and Wolf. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The listeners only meeting on the Doug and Wolf Show. 602-260-9870.
That's the phone number for the listeners only meeting where you get to sound off on what you said last night or saw last night. Such a strange thing to talk about. Our Cardinals are 6-4. They've won more games than last year. And going into the game, they had the number one offense. So it's not like the world's coming to an end. At the same point, what a bunch of crap last night. With the penalties, the lack of run game, with Seattle looking like they've got the greatest defense in the world when they had the worst defense. So much to get into. And here's your question very simply. What's the worst thing you saw? What's the thing that that makes you want to yell while you're driving to work this morning? David in Peoria, good morning, David. What's the worst thing you saw last night?
The worst thing I saw last night has to have been all the penalties. Mm-hmm. But I want to flip it and go to a positive.
What a nice man.
Point out that I thought Isaiah Simmons played a pretty good ball game.
Mm-hmm.
His tackling angles looked pretty good. He's fast off the ball. He got a sack. He was hyped up. So overall, I thought he played a pretty good game. So I'll let you guys go and have a good morning.
Thank you, David.
Hey, brother, you know what? Yeah, I absolutely love that phone call right there, right? You're going to go to the positive side of things. Well done. It's got to be the weekend, right?
You lose 28-21 in a battle for first place.
Man.
There's so many people. Listen, I'm one of these off the deep end angry at what I saw. And, David, we need more of you in the world and less of me. Jason in Phoenix, good morning, Jason. What's the worst thing you saw last night? Jason. Don't. Wow.
Going once.
All right. Robert in Phoenix. Good morning, Robert. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What's the worst thing you saw last night?
Kirkpatrick costing us the game. Not only did he give them the first down, he gave them all of our momentum. And as a penalty, he should really have to fight Metcalf.
Oh, my goodness. That really was. It was bad. There's no doubt about it. I don't want to act like.
What a great line.
What?
His penalty should be he has to fight Metcalf like he really wants
okay,
to.
Okay, yeah. But I don't ever, ladies and gentlemen, want to make it sound like I have not lost my mind on the football field. I have. But you just can't ever accept it. It can never happen, especially in a big game. It can never happen, ever. And that's Andre Kirkpatrick. Yeah. I don't care what happened. That can happen like we saw last night.
I have been and will be highly critical of Vance Joseph. The scoring inside the two-minute warning drives me nuts. So far this year, he's one of the worst defensive coordinators in the NFL to start a game. The amount of points he gives up to start the game is terrible. But you need to know this. This is a really interesting point about the Drake Kirkpatrick penalty. That ended a streak that to start the second half, every opponent of the Cardinals has been a punt except when Dallas threw an interception.
Okay.
Every start of the second half has been a punt or the Dallas interception that was broken by the touchdown there that Drake Kirkpatrick was able to continue that drive for Seattle.
Okay. Next.
Vinny in Scottsdale. Vinny, good morning. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What's the worst thing you saw last night?
Guys, it's the same thing over and over. I see Kyler Murray with his head down, running on the field, running off the field, squinting his eyes, and not for nothing. And I know it's not Megatron. I know it's Metcalf, but you're playing against Megatron. Why are you not adjusting and running a double coverage on him and stacking the line?
Well, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it right there. They really didn't run a double coverage on DK Metcalf because they had Patrick Peterson. And Patrick Peterson in the first game really did a great job on DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the reasons why they had so much confidence in this game.
Absolutely. I think it's really simple. You look at the game one, you've got to go into that game saying, Pat P, you're going to travel with DK Metcalf. Now, I think they have to adjust because it didn't work, but I thought they did. Pedro Mesa, good morning, Pedro. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What's the worst thing you saw last night?
Good morning, boys. Good morning. Just to be alive, bad news for the Cardinals. We have so many problems. The biggest problem is the penalties. We got, empty stadium, false starts, illegal motions, you name it. A couple more things that just keep grinding at me. Cliff, can he do you guys think he just overthinks stuff too much sometimes?
Yes.
And Pat P, I think the marriage is going to be over after this year. To phrase Gamble, play great players can have 3 or 4 games, but other than that, he's slowing down, and I think it's going to time to part ways. But I think hit the head on the head. It's just Cliff overthinks too many things. Going to Andy Isabella there at the end, I'm sorry, but he's not the right player.
Mm. Sorry, Pedro. I thought you were done. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was my fault.
Cliff Kingsbury, he's such an upfront guy. He takes a lot of blame for stuff that I don't even think he should take blame for. But he does that anyways, right? And I think he wants to take the heat off his players for the most part. It's one of the reasons why he is a true players coach, I think, in 2020 right now. But Cliff Kingsbury, definitely the number one offense in the National Football League because of the play calls that he's basically calling. Everyone wants to look at the play calling. I think it's more decision-making. And I think also that Cliff Kingsbury has been very forthcoming in terms of saying, you know what, I didn't do a good enough job right there in decision-making. This is a guy that I think is still developing as a head coach before our very eyes.
I think a lot of people didn't like the Andy Isabella play, but here's the one thing, Pedro, and it kind of piggybacks off of what Wolf just said. The decision to where the ball goes is Kyler Murray. Very, very rare. Of course, there's wide receiver screens, things like that, but very rarely do you call a play and say, throw it to that guy.
Yeah,
it's more, what do you see? And Kyler saw Isabella and threw it late, and then the O-line's getting pressure. Listen, I don't like it when they throw it to Isabella either because I don't think he fights for the ball enough. But at the same time,
the other guy made a play shot his arm right up through there.
Yeah, but that happens a lot to Andy Isabella. You got to be able to make the play yourself.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
No. The arm shot up through there.
But I'm saying,
what are you talking
but
about?
You see, you see like a DeAndre Hopkins, the handle shoot up there, and D Hop comes down with it. I mean, you got to fight for the ball,
okay,
right?
Okay, well, yeah, I would say DeAndre Hopkins is a little bit different, right? He's shaped a little bit different. He's formed a little bit different, right there. And Isabella didn't do anything wrong on that play.
I just think there's. Why do you always make excuses for Andy Isabella?
What are you talking about? Because you know what? He gets criticized because people think that he's not developing the way he should. Okay? And to me, I look at him right now. His hands are so much better this year. He's playing so much better than what he did last year. It's not even close. You're going to blame him for that drop?
No, I don't call it a drop at all.
What do you call it?
I'm just saying I want him. I think there's a lot of contested catches he doesn't make. And I think you got to come down with some of them. An NFL player has to make some of those plays.
Man, I'll tell you, you know what? Honestly, you're right about that. An NFL player does have to make some of those plays. But the other guy makes plays, too.
Not denying that at all. But wouldn't you agree? Usually the other guy wins battles with Andy Isabella.
Listen, all I'm saying is this right here. Andy Isabella this year has been so much better than last year, it's not even close. Let's hope he continues to develop over the next 2 years.
Coming up next, major factor on offense lacking. How different would the game have been if one thing changes? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So as we say in the business, Wolf, a change to the show sheet, if you want to know.
Let's see.
Max Starks listening to the Doug and Wolf Show. And something has stuck in his crawl.
Oh, no.
So he called in, and at 8:15, Max Starks is coming on.
Okay.
I don't know whether he's got a bone to pick with you, the listener, with Wolf, or with me. But Max Starks called and said, hey, I got so much to talk about.
Love it when Max joins us.
So you get a little extra dose of Maximum Football coming up at 8:15 this morning. It's Doug and Wolf in the Auction Community Studios. Cardinals a loser 28-21 last night in a game that was really hard to watch. Cliff Kingsbury, one of the best weapons of the season, has been the Kyler Murray running game. Where was Kyler? Why wasn't he as effective running the ball?
I got to give Seattle credit. They had a good plan to try and make him hand the ball off, and that's basically what it came down to.
All right, Kyler, why do you think you were less effective as your own running back?
I think it was just flow of the game. What did we rush? I don't think we had a lot of rushing yards anyway. So, I think that's just the way they were playing it. We had what we had. And, like I said, we had our chances. We just didn't play well enough to win the game.
And Kyler Murray had 5 rushes for 15 yards. Think about that. 5 rushes for 15 yards, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Wolfley doing math, 3 yards per carry. That is, you're talking about a quarterback that has been on pace to rush for over 1,000 yards this season. That, to me, shows Seattle had a plan. That plan was to play Kyler Murray. Play Kyler. Forget about handing the ball off. We don't even care. We want you to hand the ball off. They didn't want Kyler Murray to have the ball in his hands. That makes a lot of sense, and they're going to see that as the season unfolds.
I don't remember what the number was. I think it was 6.7. But last week, Kyler, with his runs, had elevated himself that he actually qualified in the running back category for yards per carry in the league, and he led the NFL. Not just as quarterback. He led the NFL in yards per carry, including everybody that runs the football that had enough carries. And yet, this game, as you just said, 3 a carry. Did they do something different to take away your runs last night than they did on Sunday Night Football?
They definitely played for me, in certain situations. But I think, like I said, I mean, put up 21, had a chance to win the game at the end. But throughout the game, man, we started off slow, and then we kept shooting ourselves in the foot. They won the game, but, I think we can play a lot better.
Boy, right there, he just said it, right? They played for me. What does he mean by that, ladies and gentlemen? They played for me. Well, for the most part, when you play the Arizona Cardinals, you got to play the edges. Your edge is very, very important defensively because of Kyler Murray right there, because of the zone read, because of all the RPOs that they actually run. You've got to play Kyler Murray, and that's what defenses are going to start doing. They're going to say, all right, hand the ball off, Kyler. We want you to hand the ball off. The last thing we want is for you to keep the ball and run around the corner, wide open. Run around the corner, have the option to run or throw. That's the last thing we want. So you know what? We're going to go ahead and make our edges a lot more disciplined so that you hand the ball off. I think that is something that we're going to see as the season unfolds. I will also say this. The offensive line was disappointing to me. The offensive line disappointed only because I've come to expect so much more from the offensive line. So much more from this unit than what we saw last night. They have been criticized, lambasted roundly over the last couple of years, incorrectly. You go back to last season, the offensive line was not a weakness for the Arizona Cardinals, yet everyone continued to think they were a weakness. Last night, I thought they played maybe their worst game. Maybe their worst game of the season last night.
You can imagine. Pete Carroll wants credit.
I think, you know, Kenny went after him differently and adjusted stuff from the last time we played him. You know, you don't see it this way, but the last time we played them, until like 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, we had been in pretty good shape with these guys, and we had done some really good things. I went back and watched the film tonight before the game, just to go ahead and see it one more time. And we played like that throughout the whole game this time. So we were adjusted, we were ready, and we took advantage of Carlos being part of it and some of the situations. We moved some guys around, and it worked out really well.
Move I don't some really guys understand. Around, especially on the edge.
Until the end, I didn't understand. The only thing is, was Kenny, meaning Ken Norton.
Kenny.
And then at the end, we moved some guys around. You know, one thing, do you remember the great Dan Reeves?
Yes, of course.
Dan Reeves said something one time, which was probably why he was not the head coach of the Broncos for very long after saying it. But he was asked about how great all the fourth quarter comebacks of John Elway were. Mm. And he said, well, if we didn't turn the ball over so much, maybe we wouldn't be trailing all the time in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that didn't sit very well with John Elway. As much as we love this Cardinals offense and as much as we talk about all of the yards and the fact that they're the number one ranked offense in the NFL going into last night's game, is part of the reason because they're always trailing? Would you say coaching and energy are the two most important things to start a game? I'm thinking you had all week to prepare your offense and your defense, and then the players providing energy to execute.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much more important than those two things to
me. I would like to know that. I would like to know statistically how often they've been trailing in games.
The Arizona Cardinals have given up points on the opening drive of the opposition 60% of the time. 4 touchdowns. They caused as many punts as touchdowns. 4 touchdowns, 4 punts. The problem is the people that have been forced to punt, Washington's offense, the Jets' offense, Dallas's offense without Dak, and Tua in his very first possession as a starting quarterback.
Yes.
But then Tua had 2 touchdowns in the very next 2 drives.
Okay.
Yet the Cardinals have only scored twice out of their 10 drives and only once as a touchdown. So only 1 touchdown to start a game this year under Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Now, the yards are there. The points come later. Remember, we're talking about an offense that set a new franchise record, 5 straight games with 30 points.
Yes.
They had never done that before.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot of things, but one thing that they are doing a terrible job, I mean one of the worst in the NFL, is starting a game.
Well, when you put it that way, it's hard to deny that, Douglas. It is. But once again, I look at this, making adjustments is important.
Oh, yeah.
Making adjustments is critical in the National Football League, and I think that's what they did. They come out in that first series, and yeah, maybe they have not looked good, but Cliff Kingsbury and the offense made adjustments, and now all of a sudden you're talking about the number one offense in the National Football League. So they make adjustments. That's the sign of a good coach, to make those adjustments right now. And you know what? Honestly, the offense was just so disappointing to me last night, because I felt like the onus was on this offense to come in and whip up on the Seattle Seahawks' historically bad defense, especially when they didn't have their starting corners. I mean, they have the dead last pass defense in the National Football League to begin with, Basinonians, and then all of a sudden they don't have their starting corners. You take their 2 corners out of that historically bad defense, and you come out and you look lost, frankly, in that first half. They scored 7 points in that first half and had 107 yards of offense in that first half. Man, that was so disappointing. 314 yards against a team that is giving up 435 yards a game.
Almost a 100-yard difference. Seattle was 205 to 107, as you just mentioned, in the first half. The first half rushing yards will really punch you in the face. 95 to 24. And then, this is where, I just said one was where it gets worse. How about 6 of 9 on third down conversions for the Seattle offense?
Yes, it was just
67%.
But once again, I'm just going to tell you right now, Basinonians, going into that game, if I told you the Arizona Cardinals defense was going to give up 26 points, what would you have said? Done. Sold. You would have said that. 26 points is what the defense gave up.
I would have liked to
be less. The onus is on the offense. You're talking about the number one scoring offense in the National Football League in the Seattle Seahawks. 26 points is what they gave up. The onus was always on the offense in this game, and they didn't get it done. Laid at their feet.
Experience the sights and sounds of football this season from your home. Text Sonic to 620-620 and enter the Supersonic Sports Fan Giveaway. The prize package includes a large screen television, a sound bar, football jersey, and much more. Just text Sonic to 620-620 to enter. Text and data rates may apply. Coming up next, Cardinals lose. What was the most part of the game, or who? What part of the game was the most disappointing to us? Where's the cowbell?
Coffee.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.